He still rolls the stone away. He's rolled it away in my life. Has he done that for you? Amen. Praise God. Praise God. He didn't roll that stone away so that he could get out. He rolled it away for us. He rolls it away for us today. Even today. Praise the Lord. I'm so glad for that this morning. I am so glad for that. As a matter of fact, I am just so glad to be able to say it again. Christ the Lord is risen.
He is risen.
Praise God. It's changed my world. It's changed my world. Has it changed your world? Grace has changed the world that I'm living in. I'm so thankful for that today. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Sometimes it's difficult preaching on the resurrection because it's such a vital part of our lives that it almost sounds like it gets repetitious. And yet when we come right down to Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, it's new every year. It never gets old for me. Does it for you? I hope not. Preacher, you say it too often. Christ the Lord is risen.
He is risen indeed.
But it's so wonderful to be able to realize and worship a risen Savior. Thank God. Thank you, Whitakers, for that beautiful number and song. He still rolls the stone away. Praise God. Praise God. Would you bow your head with me as we seek God's help, as we endeavor to preach, as I endeavor to preach God's word this morning. Father, you have certainly blessed us with your presence this morning. You have certainly come as we have asked. You have promised. And while we rejoice together today and our heart wells up in praise and shouts, rejoicing, there are a lot of needs around us as well. There's burdens and problems, perplexities. I pray, Lord, that on this Resurrection Sunday that you will be very real to them. Even on Resurrection Sunday, we realize that Jesus came to restore the relationship of mankind with their Father, with our Creator. Lord, even on this Resurrection Sunday, though, there's a lot of people that are experiencing troubles and difficulties and brokenness in relationships. We can go down a long list of names of individuals that are acquainted, that we are acquainted with right here among us, around us. I pray that you would touch them today with a special touch to restore their relationships in families and in friends and in their spiritual life and journey as well. Father, as you've laid this message on my heart for this Sunday morning, I pray for the divine anointing of the Holy Spirit. I cannot do it without your strength and without your help. I pray for your touch, not only for the speaker, but I pray for your touch to each hearer today. That it'll be renewed in our hearts, the resurrection, the resurrected Lord. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. It is Resurrection Sunday, and we say Happy Easter. Last Sunday was Palm Sunday. The crowd waved the palm branches as they laid them with garments on the roadway as Jesus passed by. The streets rang with celebration. Hosanna to the Son of David. Matthew tells us in the 21st chapter, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. No one, even had the remotest idea that Friday was coming. But Jesus did. Jesus knew it. Even when they were singing Hosanna to the highest, Jesus knew. It was the Lamb selection day. The streets were teeming with people. The temple was a regular marketplace as everyone was in need of securing a spotless lamb for their animal sacrifice. It wasn't on the mind of any person that God's selection of his spotless lamb for the sins of all mankind had just arrived in Jerusalem. But Jesus did. Jesus made his way to the temple. It was his custom to go to the temple. It wasn't unusual at all for him to be there and want to go there. But he knew within himself that there was trouble brewing. And actually, Jesus created quite a scene, didn't he? When he went into that temple and he drove the buyers and the sellers who were making the sacred place, the sacred place into a secular place. You see, he knew things that no one else knew. He knew that Friday was coming. His heart was already breaking. The scene was set in his mind. He knew what was to come. He knew what he was going to experience, what he would have to endure. Jesus knew that Friday was coming. He left the city for the night but returned the next morning, and he made his way back to the temple. His disciples followed along, but they really couldn't see any rhyme or reason to what Jesus was doing and all the moves that Jesus was making. The chief priest and the elders attempted to trap him, and that seemed to be a common thing, trying to trap Jesus. Time and time again, he sidestepped their intentions and continued to teach those who would listen. The 21st chapter of Matthew closes with the words, "And although they were trying to arrest him, they feared the throngs because they regarded him as a prophet." Then nearly midway through into the next chapter, the chief priests were again trying to tangle him. But he confounded them. Isn't that a beautiful picture, the way that Jesus was able to confound all of his tempters, all of his testers? They had to leave him alone, but it seemed like it was only for a short time. Soon the Sadducees were asking him questions, and then the Pharisees showed up, and they tried to catch him in something, so that by the end of the 22nd chapter, he'd actually put them all to silence. Matthew says it this way: "No one was able to answer him a word, nor from that day did anyone venture or dare to question him." Jesus, though, he continued to teach those who would listen. Nobody suspected what was fixing to happen, but Jesus did. Jesus knew. He taught his disciples. He was actually in those teachings, he was preparing his disciples. He longed. He wanted his disciples to understand. He wants us to understand as much as we can understand. He wants us to. It's not that he's blindfolding us for the purpose of leading us blindly into the paths of life. He wants us to understand. Most important thing he wants us to understand is the surrender and the submission to his will. He wanted his disciples to follow. He was teaching them and preparing them. He longed for them to understand. He pointed his disciples to the reality that there would be some dark days ahead. Not just for them, but for all the followers of Christ. That includes us. John records the words of Christ in the 16th chapter of his gospel, and he said in the 32nd verse, "Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and leave me alone, and yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer." Can you hear him saying it to you this morning? Whatever your circumstances are, what you will find a tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. You see, no one else knew what was about to happen on Friday, but Jesus did. In that knowledge, his heart was breaking. He knew that some people hated him. He knew people would turn on him. Some of his own friends and acquaintances even, his close people, he knew that a close friend would even betray him. He knew that his inner circle would fail to feel his deepest agony. He knew that one of his boldest followers who would proclaim his loyalty, but within a few hours he would deny Christ three times. He knew that all of the remaining 11 would run away and hide. Every step of his journey, he knew, but he kept walking. He knew, and he kept walking. You know, a songwriter said that he knew me, yet he loved me. The same thing that we can find here, the same spirit of that text, we can find it in the life of Jesus Christ. He knew every step of the way, and yet he kept walking. Now, he longed, he had a real deep desire to celebrate the Passover with his 12 disciples. They had had a wonderful fellowship that evening. No one in that crowd of people, that small group of people, understood that the devil was lurking in the shadows. But Jesus knew. Satan had a foothold in the heart of Judas Iscariot. His disciples still couldn't figure out who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom of Christ, in his kingdom. They were still grappling over that. The message of the kingdom of heaven seemed to be lost in their minds. Jesus was fixing to suffer. Jesus was fixing to die. He gets up from that table knowing everything that was to take place. And what did he do? He washed their feet. Let me reemphasize, if you're not catching it this morning. Jesus had already stated that they would depart. They would run away and hide. That he was telling them that somebody was going to betray him. And he was warning that somebody was going to deny him. He told that person to his face, "You will deny me three times." But knowing all of that, he got up from the table and he did what? He washed their feet. Of all the lowly things, the places of service that he could have done, he washed their feet. He wanted so much for them to understand that they were called to be servants, not lords. He also knew that you and I, disciples in 2025, would have a difficult time understanding that same concept, that it's easier to perform the ceremony than it is to take the position of the servant and to serve, to wash somebody else's feet. I can't imagine what was going on through in the mind of Christ at that time as he calmly began to talk about the one who was going to betray him. Can you hear him as he's washing their feet and as he's talking back and forth and the conversation maybe scattered around the room, but Jesus then begins to say to them that I say unto you, one of you will betray me. Wow. You see, Jesus knew what the others didn't know. Jesus was trying to inform them even of the upcoming events of his sacrifice. And during that Passover meal, he used everyday items to create symbols that would become sacred traditions. He lifted up the bread, he broke it, and explained that it represented his body being broken for humanity's sins. And then he lifted up the cup, that cup of wine, and stated that it symbolized his blood, which would be shed. It would be spilled out to cover humanity's sins, marking the beginning of the New Testament and ending the Old Testament animal sacrifices. You see, in the Old Testament, an animal had to die, but it wasn't sufficient. The Hebrew writer tells us about the insufficiency of the animal sacrifices, that somebody had to die, and he was about to take that position. Once for all. No one else was aware that the first Good Friday was approaching. But Jesus knew. And despite feeling the anguish, despite feeling all of the sadness and the grief, his disciples were asleep in the garden. And Judas then came and betrayed him for a measly 30 pieces of silver, somewhere around 5 weeks' worth of income. What do you make in 5 weeks? Is that enough to betray the Lord? To cut off and sever that relationship with the Messiah, the Christ? For a measly 5 weeks of wages, he was severing, he was betraying his Lord. Peter denied knowing Jesus, even after directly being warned by him. We find in the following scenes that Pilate was showing his yellow streak, and Herod was only interested to see what Jesus could do. And then Friday came. About 9 o'clock in the morning, the time of the morning sacrifice, Jesus was crucified on the cross. The onlookers jeered, sneered, smirked. He was hung between common criminals. Both of them, at least temporarily, both of them were mocking him. And in the midst of that horrible, tragic, grotesque scene, Jesus even asked God to provide forgiveness to all of them. They didn't know, but Jesus did. About noon, the sun was obscured, the darkness covered the land. God couldn't bear to see his son carrying the sins of mankind, and all of the sins of those wicked church leaders, all the sins of the Sadducees, all the sins of the Pharisees, all the sins of the people of the first century, the second century, the third century, our century, and every century in between, every sin. As I said at the Good Friday service in town this particular week, every ray of sin, every beam, every trajection of people's sin was formed, was shaped, was pointing to this one person, to Christ. Every sin. My sins, your sins, your sins. And if you're feeling high and mighty this morning, I would say your sins too. The lowest of the low and the highest of the high. Jesus carried our sins. The big sins, the little sins, the ugly sins, the cute sins, the black sins, the white sins. However you want to depict your sins. All of mankind's sins were placed on Jesus as he was nailed to that cross so that his blood could forever pay the debt of that sin. But it was dark that day. It was dark that day. Not only was the sun obscured in the heavens, but also the light of hope had been extinguished. They were lost. The believers were lost. It was dark. It was Friday. But Jesus knew what it meant. And then at the time of the evening sacrifice, Jesus cried out, "It is finished." It wasn't a cry of defeat, but it was a cry of victory. "It is finished." Crying out in those few words and in that simple statement that the work of redemption was complete. And in that cry of being finished and the completeness of redemption, the earth trembled and the darkness could be felt and the temple veil was torn from the top to the bottom, making way for humanity, you and me, to come to God ourselves. Friday had come. I don't think anybody can say it better than S.M. Lockridge, and you'll remember these words, I'm sure. He said, "It's Friday. Jesus is praying. Peter's sleeping. Jesus is betraying. But Sunday's coming. It's Friday. Pilate's struggling. The council is conspiring. The crowd is vilifying. They don't even know that Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The disciples are running like sheep without a shepherd. Mary's crying. Peter is denying. But they don't know that Sunday's a-coming. It's Friday. The Romans beat my Jesus. They robe him in scarlet. They crown him with thorns. But they don't know that Sunday's coming. It's Friday. See Jesus walking to Calvary, his blood dripping, his body stumbling, his spirit's burdened. But you see, it's only Friday. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The world's winning. People are sinning. And evil's grinning. It's Friday. The soldiers nail my Savior's hands to the cross. They nail my Savior's feet to the cross. And they raise him up next to criminals. It's Friday. But let me tell you something. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The disciples are questioning what has happened to their king, and the Pharisees are celebrating that their scheming has been achieved, but they don't know it's only Friday. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. He's hanging on the cross, feeling forsaken by his Father, left alone and dying. No, can nobody save him? Oh, it's Friday. But Sunday's coming. Mary Beth, would you come to the piano? It's Friday. The earth trembles. The sky grows dark. My king yields his spirit. It's Friday. Hope is lost. Death has won. Sin has conquered. And Satan's just a laughing. It's Friday. Jesus is buried. A soldier stands guard. A rock is rolled into place. But it's Friday. It's only Friday because Sunday is coming. Ladies and gentlemen, Sunday has come. He burst the bands of death. He arose. Hallelujah, Christ arose. Jesus knew Resurrection Sunday would come. Peter pens the words in his epistle, "For Christ also hath suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian, the songwriter said. Lift up your voice and sing eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King. It was Friday. Jesus knew it would not end on Friday, but now it's Sunday. He has risen. He is not there. Our God reigns, even this morning. I know we already sang the majority of that song, but I want us to conclude today with it as well. 268. There's a couple of verses that we did not sing earlier. They're on that second page. I want us to sing them. somewhere in this song, I want you to stand with me as we rejoice together that our God knew and yet He continued to walk that path so that you and I can have new life and the stone be rolled away this morning in our lives. Would you sing it together this morning? On the mountains are the feet of Him who brings good news. Good news announcing peace, proclaiming news of happiness.
God loves souls. See Him.
midst of it all, Jesus knew. Jesus knew. What does that have to mean? And what can we take home with us today from that thought? It's this. You may feel like it's Friday, but Jesus knows where you are. Jesus knows the darkness of your Friday or the darkness of your yesterday or the darkness that you think will be tomorrow. He knows where you are and He knows you. And because of the empty tomb, He has victory. He gives us victory through the blood of Christ. He knows you. Thank you for your attendance and attention this morning. Thank you for joining together in worship and praise of our risen Savior. Christ the Lord is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Benjamin, would you dismiss us in prayer?